morning.
Good morning.
Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, just humbly before you, seeking to know you, Lord. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would remove me from this message, and that, Lord, you would speak today to the hearts here. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, that we would hear clearly exactly what it is that you want us to hear. Lord, we ask that you would move us to obey when you speak. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless us just for being here today. Lord, we love you so much. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, the first thing we need to do, I need to give you a little warning before we get started. The warning is this. When the Lord laid this message on my heart, he convicted my socks off. Alright? The Lord really convicted me through this message. And the reason I bring that up is because he convicted me greatly through this message. And I suspect that the Spirit may whisper in your ear. I suspect the Spirit may gently poke your heart this morning through this message. And the reason I bring that up, folks, is because when the Spirit speaks to you and you don't listen, there's a small scab that grows on your heart. And over time, when you hear the Spirit and don't obey, your heart grows callous. And eventually, you don't hear the Spirit anymore. I don't know if you're tracking or not, but that's not a good spot to be in. When you no longer hear the still small voice of God in your life, that is not a good place to be. Just the other day in my quiet time, this is still not the message, this is still just a warning. Just the other day in my quiet time, yesterday actually, I was reading in Luke, and in Luke 14, the master invites people. He sends someone out to invite them to his dinner. And he invites three people. And these three people, they come up with different excuses as to why they can't come. And the important thing is after this, the servant goes out and gets other people. But then in verse 24, the master says, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." And the danger we have, folks, is if the Spirit speaks to you today and invites you to his supper, and you have an excuse as to why you won't come, the Master says, "Surely those people will not come to my supper." That is not a good place to be. So I give you that warning today, folks, because in the message, we will have, towards the end here, a call to action. And you can walk out and not do anything. That's probably not a good thing. So that's the warning. We'll jump into the message here. Fulfilling the Great Commandment. How many of you have heard of the Great Commission before? Pretty popular, right? Does anyone know the Great Commission? Matthew 28, 19-20. Anyone want to paraphrase it?
All the world, make disciples.
Amen. Yep. Yep. For those who didn't hear it, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission is very popular in the church. Several reasons. I mean, Jesus told us to do it, so it is the right thing to do. But people latch onto that because, you know, the Great Commission fills churches, fills pews. It gives us numbers. We like numbers. We like to show. Look at how good we are. But does anyone know what the Great Commandment is?
God with all your heart, so much.
Amen. Amen. The chaplain knows it. Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:4 is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord your God is one." Deuteronomy 6:5 is, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength." That is the great commandment. And out of the great commandment comes the great commission. So the question is, today, if the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength, how do we do that? How do we do that? What does that look like? If we are going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, there is a foundational requirement that we have to understand before we can do that. John 14:6. Does everyone have a Bible? There's a pile right over here. We don't. We're gonna hit, as usual, we're gonna hit a lot of scripture. John 14:6 is a very popular passage. I'm sure you've heard it before. John 14:6 is this. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Guys, if we want to fulfill the Great Commission, or the Great Commandment, we have to come to John 14:6. We have to come to Jesus. There are lots of religions that attempt to love God with all of their heart, soul, and strength, but don't come through Jesus. And guess what? They are not loving their God. They think they are. But Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but by me. If you don't come to the Father through Jesus, you're not coming to the Father. If you reject Jesus, you are not accepting God. That, guys, is the foundation. If you do it without Jesus, you're not doing it. You're seeking the Lord in vain. You have to come through Jesus. Once you have that foundation, once you understand that you have to come to the Lord through Jesus, then we can start to look and we can begin to conceive how to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. As you see, there's three blocks here, right? One for heart, one for soul, and one for strength. So, have you ever heard that we as human beings are more than just our body? We're a three-part being. Everyone heard that before? What are those parts? Body, mind, and spirit. Everyone heard that before? Okay. So when we're told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, we need to understand, what is He telling us to love Him with? What exactly does our heart mean? What exactly does our soul mean? What exactly does our strength mean? And we can begin to break that down and look at it, body, mind, and spirit. But body, mind, and spirit also breaks down into more. There are pieces, practical pieces of our life that fall into each one of these blocks that allow us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our strength. Let's check out Psalm 51. So if you weren't familiar with flipping through your Bible before I started preaching, you're gonna be afterwards. We bounce all over the scripture, huh? Alright, Psalm 51, 16 through 17 says this. "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So guys, what he's saying here is God, he doesn't delight in our religious ceremonies. He doesn't delight in all of these heartless practices that we do that make us look religious. God delights in our heart. God delights in our devotion. He wants all of who we are. He wants us devoted to Him. He looks at the heart. What are your desires? What do you want in life? Do you want God? or do you just play the church game? We're gonna dig more into this. I'm just throwing this out now, just to whet your appetite here. But we'll dig more into this block. Romans 12:2. Does anybody know this one by heart? Go to it here. Everybody there? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, pleasing will." So there are a couple pieces here, guys. If we want to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, Romans 12:2 says, first, don't conform to the patterns of this world. Don't conform to what everything else is going on in the world. Don't conform, and then you can be transformed by a renewed mind. Do you know what that breaks down to, guys? That breaks down to our time. If we give Him our time, we spend time with Him in His presence, our mind can be transformed into something new. You see that? On a practical level. We're going to dig more into time as well. Let me lay the foundation here for the other one. Romans 12:1. "I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." He says to lay your body on the altar. Guys, that means all of who you are, all encompassed, everything about who you are, He calls you to lay it on the altar. Give it to Him. You know what that means? Uh-oh. We're good up to this point, and now everybody's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. God, get your hand off my wallet." We were good when we talked theology. We were good when we talked about time. But whoa, whoa, you've taken this a little bit too far. And I know that because I was there. God, get your hand off my wallet. Don't talk about my money. How arrogant of us. Who has given us everything that we have? Who gives us the very breath of our life but God? And then we turn around and say, "This is mine, my money." When He has given us everything and can take all things away. Who are we to think, "This is my money"? Did you know, in the New Testament, money is addressed more than almost anything else? Do you think God cares about money when that is one of His top three topics that He discusses in Scripture? Yeah, He cares. Do you know why? Because we seem to care a lot about it. I'm going to break this down, these two right here. But first, let me show you. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Okay? It doesn't say, "Know about me as God." It says, "Know me as God." When we spend time, when we're still, when we close everything off, we as Americans are horrible at this. We are absolutely horrible at being still. We have to do something. I'm going to spend time with God, so I'm going to go read about God. I'm going to spend time with God, so I'm going to go listen to music. I'm going to spend time with God, so I'm going to go do something else. When do we ever just stop in silence and listen to God and know that He is God? We can't do it as Americans. We're horrible at this. But He tells us, if you want to know I am God, cut everything else out and actively sit and listen to me. And know that I am God. Give Him our time. It's not our time, it's His time. He's given it to us. James 1:22 says, "Do not deceive yourselves and merely listen to the word, but be doers of the word." Be doers of the word. We need to do. Guys, do you know what the number one leading cause of death in America is? Heart disease. It's heart disease. And how do we get heart disease? Why do we get heart disease? Because we're fat! We're fat! Fat leads to all sorts of things that kill us. Why are we fat? Because we don't do what it takes to not die from being fat. We don't get off the couch and go work out to be in shape. If we did, we wouldn't be fat. We would have less chance of heart disease. But yet, that is still the number one leading cause of death in America. Guys, do you know what the number one leading cause of spiritual death in the church is? It's being fat. Do you know why? Because we want to sit in the pew and get fed from the preacher all day long and never exercise our faith by doing. We're dying. We're killing ourselves. We're not willing to do what it takes to not die spiritually. Why? It doesn't make any sense. Why we would do that? Because it's comfortable and we don't want to do. It takes work to get up and exercise. No and the do, guys, these two right here, our time and our money, this is what I call, these two blocks, this is what I call getting down to business with God. Alright? What do we do with our money here? What do smart financial people do with their money? Save it and invest it, right? We invest it. And what do when we invest? We spend our money on something in hopes of getting that money plus more back in return. Right? Well, guess what, guys? I'm here to tell you that the investments we do here on earth, no matter how long, those are short-term investments. Do you know why? Because they pay back before you die. Guess what? Those investments will fail every single time. No matter how much money you get back, you will die. Every single one of us, me included, we have a birth date, we have a death date. And guess what? That death date will come. And all the stuff that you invest in here on this earth will stay. You will lose it. It's guaranteed. But guess what? When you make a long-term investment and you invest on the other side of death, 100% return on your money, I guarantee you it will be sitting there waiting for you when you show up in heaven. The investment you make there will be waiting for you. Guaranteed. It will be there. Our time and our money. God calls us to invest them into the kingdom of God. Now, our time, for whatever reason, we seem willing to just let it go away. How often have you heard people say, I'm just wasting time, just killing time. Time is like nothing to us, right? We're just killing time. But money, whoa, money is important to me. Guys, we are so backwards on this. Do you know why? How do you get paid? Do you get paid on an hourly basis? Do you get paid on an annual salary? Do you get paid by the day? Do you get paid by the week? Are you seeing something here? All of a sudden, money is based on the scale of time. Do you know why? Because, like we said, we have a birth date, we have a death date. The number of seconds, the number of minutes, the number of hours between there is finite. You can't get more, you can't get less. It is established. What you're given is what you've got. How you invest that, when you spend that piece, it's gone. You don't get more. Your time is a very, very valuable commodity. Money is man-made. In theory, money is infinite. You can always make more. Time is finite. You can't make more time. So let me throw this at you. Let's say you want to buy a new boat, right? You got a new boat that you got your eye on, $20,000 boat. You go, you buy that boat. Well, guess what? Those $20,000, every single penny of that $20,000 has time, your time, attached to it. Time you will never get back. You had to make that money to purchase the boat. Am I right? Okay, so you got your first lump of money. Ching, 20 grand. All that time, you've spent it. Out of your life. The time you won't get back. But that's not all. Now you have to fix the boat, clean the boat, fuel the boat. All that has time attached with it. And now, oh, by the way, because you've got this new boat, you have to use the boat. You have to drive the boat. You have to make time to go out into this new purchase you've got. That is a lot invested in this world. That's a lot invested in this world. So what does it look like to invest in the kingdom? It can look like a number of things. A number of things, okay? For instance, the boat or a car. When you need a new car, do you go out and buy a Mercedes because you want to see people, you want people to see you driving around in this nice, flashy car? Do you need a car? Absolutely. Absolutely. God's not calling us all to just walk around in sandals. However, if you're down to business with God and you want to invest, do you invest in the Mercedes or do you invest in, say, a 10-passenger van so that you can use your vehicle, you can use your purchase to bring more people to church? Now here's the other thing. Don't fall for the trap of, I just want good quality, so I'm going to buy a Lamborghini because it's a quality car. Because here's the thing, guys. The amount of time that goes into that quality car is time you don't get back. When you look at your investment, is it worth it to have quality car? Your Lamborghini. I've got family members who make a ton of money. Okay? Two family members married to each other. They both make a ton of money. One, the husband, only drives a Mercedes. When the Mercedes breaks down, which it does regularly, he will only drive a rental Mercedes. Has to be a Mercedes. And that thing breaks down all the time. Not quality. And oh, by the way, because it's a Mercedes and it's name brand, when you go to fix it, it costs more because it's Mercedes. More time that you won't get back. But his wife, who makes more, gives a lot of money to the kingdom of God. And you know what? She drives a Ford Taurus. She makes a lot of money. That Ford Taurus, it works. It works. She was not interested in the things of this world. She was interested in the things of God. She chose her investment. Guys, are we willing to get down to business for God? Are we willing to invest our time and our money in the kingdom of God? Because that's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us, with all of our decisions, make investments in the kingdom of God. The things you do today, the things you spend your money on, the decisions you make today, you will still reap the benefits or the consequences in heaven. The things you do today have lasting effects, people. It doesn't just all go away when you die. It lasts. Scripture tells us it lasts into eternity. Has that ever sunk in that your decisions today, you will feel the ripple in eternity? In a literal sense, you will still feel the consequences of your decisions today? It should, because Scripture tells us it will. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be perfect as I am perfect." Be perfect. Doesn't say act perfect, doesn't say do perfect things. It says be perfect. Does this look familiar? Be no do? Army teaches that to its NCOs, right? Well, the same thing is true as a Christian. The know and the do, oh, we're all about that. That's, you know, we can do that. We can go to Bible studies and we can, you know, do great things in front of people and let them see how holy we are. But guys, the be, the Lord calls us in the essence of who we are when no one else is looking to be lovers of God. To be lovers of God. Now, here's the thing. You can look at this and say, all right, I'm sold. I'm ready to start investing. I'm ready to do this. But you know what? It's not that easy. Because everything in this world, everything that Satan has set up, is going against you. If you are ready to invest your time into the kingdom of God, if you don't have a plan, it will not happen. Let me show you Mark. Mark 4, 3 through 9 here. This is the parable of the four soils. Alright. So really quickly here. It says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Now here's the third soil. I want you to pay attention to the third soil. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But here's the fourth soil. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The reason I wanted you to see the third soil is because most Americans are in the third soil. Christian Americans are in the third soil. Let me tell you why. In verse 18 and 19 explains the third soil. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You guys, do you want to invest your time in the kingdom of God? You need to walk out of here today with a spiritual machete in your hands. And when you get out of here, you need to take that spiritual machete and you need to chop that PlayStation. You need to chop that computer. You need to chop that TV. You need to chop all those things in your life that are choking out your time. All the things that you invest in this world that take your time, you need to chop them with a spiritual machete, because those thorns will choke you out, and the scripture promises you, until you chop those thorns, you will bear no fruit. You will not produce a crop. You will continue to just entertain yourself to death. Matthew 25:16 is the parable of the talents. In the parable of the talents, you've got three guys. One is given five talents by his master. Another one's given two talents by his master, and another one's given one talent by his master. Now, in verse 16, it talks about the guy who was given five talents, okay? It says, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. Guys, he invested his five talents and made five more talents. Do you know when the master came back, he wanted the money back? And do you know what happens? The guy with the five talents gives him 10. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. But here's the awesome thing. Here's the great thing. The guy who was given two, who made another two, he only brings four. That's less than half of what the other guy brought. Do you know what the master tells him? Exact same words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, the guy who was given one talent, he went and buried it. He did not lose the money that God gave him, but he didn't invest the money. And do you know what he was told? In verse 29, he says, or verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, depart from me. You guys, we are all given talents. God has given us all something. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I do not want to go there and hear, Jeff, I gave you all of these things, you did nothing with them. Depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant. Guys, if you have talent and you're doing nothing with them, if you're burying your talent, Scripture tells us what will happen. Don't think, oh, It's not going to happen to me. God will just overlook the fact that I did nothing with what he gave me. No. If you sit on it and you bury your talent, he will tell you, you wicked and lazy servant, depart from me. He calls us to invest our time and our money into the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:6. Guys, nothing in my life has transformed me more than Matthew 6:6. This has impacted my life. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Matthew 6:6 reveals to us the secret place. If you want to be a lover of Jesus, just who you are, you have got to meet him in the secret place. It is great to be a holy roller when everybody sees you. It is great to give large donations when everyone knows that you've given. It is great to be up here and give these great speeches when everybody sees how great you are, blah, 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 blah. But you know what matters? Is that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ when no one else knows what's going on. Just you and him. What goes on in your chew when no one else is around? Do you still seek Jesus with all of your heart? How about this? How about when you give until it hurts and no one else knows? You receive no reward but from the Father. When you give till it hurts and everyone knows, Scripture says you've received your reward already. But when no one knows about it, and you act in your relationship in the secret place, the intimacy between you and God grows. And your relationship with him will be transformed into something you never knew was possible. The secret place, guys. The secret place. Now I've got two more points here that I want to show you. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can change that around. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So let me ask you this, guys. Where's your treasure? If you show me where you spend the majority of your time and where you spend the majority of your money, I will show you where your heart is. Do you spend most of your time watching football? Do you spend most of your time looking at stats? Do you spend most of your time shopping for stuff? Do you spend most of your time and money on things of this world? If you do, you may want to make a change, because it reveals where your heart is. And I've got two examples to show you. Luke 18:18-23. This is the story of the rich young ruler. Says, now a certain young ruler comes to Jesus and asks him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers him and says, do you know the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. And he says, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So we've got one example. A guy who's called to give everything for the kingdom of God, and he goes away sad because he's got a lot. He can't do it. Now Matthew 13:44 says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. All right, guys, we've got two examples. One, the guy can't do it. He goes away sad because he can't give everything away. The other one, he wasn't asked to give everything away. He willingly gave it all away for the joy of Jesus. One played the church game, and the cost was far too great. If you're just playing the church game, there is no way that the investment is worth it to give everything away. But if Jesus is real and the kingdom of heaven is real, then for the joy of heaven, you will willingly sell everything you have for that joy. Which one are you? Which one are you? Are you willing to get down to business with God? Are you willing to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength? You might say, well, I just don't know what to invest in. I'd like to invest in the kingdom of God, but I just don't know what to invest in. And I only throw this out. There are a multitude of ways for you to invest in the kingdom of God. But one possibility for investment into the kingdom of God is right here in this chapel. You have two mission trips to Kenya being planned. I plan to go the end of December. Sergeant Stewart may go with that one, and he also has another trip planned. Guys, we're looking for people to go with to Kenya. We're looking for people to support financially. We're looking for people to support in prayer. We are looking for people who want to co-labor. You know, Scripture says, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Do you understand what that's saying? If the harvest is plentiful, that means lots of people want to be Christians, but very few people are willing to labor. What I'm telling you is that the Lord is calling us to labor. And both Sergeant Stewart and I would love to link arms and co-labor with you. That is just one way that you can invest in the kingdom of God. So the decision is yours. Remember what I told you at the beginning. If the Spirit is speaking to your heart and you ignore Him, a little piece of your heart scabs over. And eventually, if you continue to ignore His call, eventually you seek to hear the Spirit. Guys, the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. He calls us to get down to business with Him.